I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester with Mike Tagliere as always. You can find us on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, I'm going to a Brazilian steakhouse tomorrow night for my anniversary. Take it or leave it, I'm going to eat enough meat that I'll no longer be able to beat Danny Amendola's combine scores.
You know what's a funny story is I've only been to one of those places in my entire life, and it just happens to be our Fantasy Pros our yearly meeting we had, and we went to one of those, and it was good, don't get me wrong, but I am such a picky eater. I didn't eat like more than half the stuff they brought around. Like I had Blaine next to me, and he's eating everything. He's like, you know, if it's not bleeding, I'm not eating it. And meanwhile, I'm trying not to throw up. I'm being told to eat things that just look awkward. There was a banana plantains or
dude, don't eat that stuff. Are you kidding? They put that on the table so you don't eat more steak. You made a mistake.
That's basically, no, I didn't need it. Like, Clinton was trying to talk me into it, but I'm just, seriously, like, I think people underestimate how picky of an eater I am. Like, I'm eating at, if I had to guesstimate it, probably like a fifth grade level. that's where I would tie my eating levels to. And I'm obviously much older than that, but I need to sometimes man up just so my kids will try things. Fortunately, my daughter's cool with it. She's willing to try anything, but if she doesn't like it, I don't make her eat it. Whereas my son, at a year and a half, I kind of have to make him eat these vegetables, even though I don't want to.
Yeah, I got that, man. Yeah, next time we go to a Brazilian steakhouse, I'm sitting next to you. So anything you don't eat, it's just my territory.
I like it, dude. Yeah, we'll definitely get on that.
Absolutely. So, Tags, what we have planned today, we're going to get into our quarterback and tight end rankings. We're going to cover them pretty extensively. We do have some disagreements. Now, we agree on several things. Like, you'll see Deshaun Watson and Jimmy Graham quite a bit lower on our list. And we'll explain why we agree with one another on those and why we disagree on other things. But first, I want to tell you about a few things on our website that you might not be aware of. Like, Fantasy Pros has so many things going on our website. All these tools that you could find something new every day. I still do, and I work there, right, Dax? I mean, both of us have full-time jobs there. It feels like I'm finding out that we have all kinds of new tools every single day. But one thing I really want to point out to you is our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. We just hired a new video guy, and Tags, Chris is unbelievable, and he's rolling out these videos. We're about to get a lot more. I wanted to let you guys know about this so you can go out there, subscribe, so you don't miss any videos. Tags, can you tell them a little bit about it?
Yeah, basically, when you go on and you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you can click to get notifications when a video goes live. And the episode that was released this past weekend was Bobby and I doing a mock draft, and we recorded ourselves on that. So if you want to see like behind the scenes and kind of see what my facial expressions are as I'm yelling at Bobby or Bobby's yelling at me, you're able to see that. That's going to be posted later this week. But then we're also going to be doing tomorrow, we're actually doing a live best ball draft with some listeners. And a lot of people have reached out to me saying that Bobby's reactions were the best part of the show and that he was so mad, you know, when some of his players be taken. So we're going to be doing that, recording that video so that you guys can see it on there. It's just, it's something that we've been wanting to do. It's just, we needed someone to actually put everything together. And now we have the video guy to do that. So go check out some of his, the work that he's done over the last couple of weeks on the YouTube channel. And
yeah, not just podcast stuff either, all kinds of stuff. He's phenomenal. He really is so talented.
For sure. Yeah. And I've done some sleeper videos on there. So if for whatever reason you don't have the premium stuff on the website, a lot of the stuff that we're doing on the YouTube channel shows stuff that's sometimes behind the paywall. So go ahead and check it out.
All right, man. Let's start here in quarterback. And, you know, I want to go deep enough, Tags, that we are covering for two quarterback leagues as well, because you never know who's listening. And worst case scenario, it doesn't apply to your league. And it'll be interesting nonetheless because it's football, right? So let's start right here at the top. Aaron Rodgers is the number one quarterback for both of us, for everybody in the world. I mean, who would not have him number one? With that said, just how high would you take him, Tex?
You know, that's the tough thing is I was in a draft last night, actually. It was this Pros versus Joes one, and Rodgers was falling. And then it got to the point where I had the second pick in the draft. So I was at the 2-3 turn. I wasn't going to take him there. But then I started debating, okay, at the end of the fourth, beginning of the fifth, that's where I'd probably pull the trigger on someone like Aaron Rodgers. I wouldn't have any issue with someone taking him at the beginning or middle of the fourth round. It's just that's about as early as you can go, because in the first three rounds, you're probably getting a sure thing at either the running back or wide receiver position, even the tight end if you want to go that route. And it's just the quarterback position is just, it doesn't score as many fantasy points as the importance is to the position in real life. Whereas Aaron Rodgers, if you're drafting a real team, yes, Aaron Rodgers is going to be the first pick. But fantasy, it just doesn't translate to that just because you have Aaron Rodgers. Imagine it this way. If you're in the middle of the season and you have a stud quarterback, let's say last year you had Deshaun Watson, you know, would you have been able to trade him away for Kareem Hunt? No, you wouldn't have, because nobody's trading away a stud running back. People will trade away quarterbacks if they have other holes in your team. And if by drafting a quarterback in the second round or third round, you're going to have other holes in your team that you're going to need to fill at some point. So I think the fourth round, just because that's when you get to the point in the draft where there's a lot of question marks. You have the guys like Alex Collins, Darius Geis, and those are guys that, you know, we want to believe that they're going to be good, but we have no idea where, you know, once you start to get to those question marks, that's when I'd take someone like Rodgers.
I'd take him in the late third, and I know that that's higher than most experts in the field. With that said, late third's probably not going to get him in standard leagues, right? Because he's going around pick 30. I'm talking like pick 32 to pick 36 is where I would take him if he lasts. And the reason why, okay, I believe in something called VBD, value-based drafting. I'm going to be starting a value series here in my writing later this week, actually. Value-based drafting is how high does he finish above the replacement level quarterback, so quarterback 13, and then how high does Le'Veon Bell finish ahead of the RB25? You would think Le'Veon Bell would be so much higher than Aaron Rodgers, right? Not so fast. Let's look at Aaron Rodgers' career. Every time he's played a full season, overall rank, number 11, number 4, number 17, 1, 9, 12, 4. He is a first-round value every single year except for once, and he missed one game that year, so he probably would have been top 12. He's a first-round value every single year. He's healthy for the entire season. He's going to be again if he stays healthy. I'm fine taking him in the third round. I don't know if I'm brave enough to take him higher than that, but I really think that he will return value.
Yeah, and for the record, so Bobby's talking about that value-based drafting. Those weren't his overall score ranks. That talks about value, you know, when you're talking about, like what he said, the 25th running back compared to the number one and all that. So I tend to extend that in my value-based drafting, where I'm going to extend that to the RB37 in the QB13, because when you're playing with flex spots and things like that, I want to extend it. I want the worst-case possible scenario, like how much better. And that's why you'll see the running backs come off the board, the sure things, the sure wide receivers come off the board. But again, when you get to the question marks, don't be sitting there debating, you know, someone like, you know, Corey Davis or Aaron Rodgers. It's really a no-brainer for me. You're just taking on unnecessary risks that you don't have to. Again, Aaron Rodgers isn't going to fall there a lot in a lot of drafts, but Bobby, you and I have both participated in drafts where Aaron Rodgers is falling to the fifth round. So
not my drafts. I'm taking him. You better believe I'm taking him. All right, man. Number two quarterback, ADP, it's Deshaun Watson. ECR, by the way, ADP is our consensus ADP from all the sites. It's not like just the Fantasy Pros ADP. It's consensus ADP. So he's going second out of all the quarterbacks. ECR, which is expert consensus rankings, you know, you bring 60. We've got 60 experts right now who have submitted their rankings. And of those 60 experts, Deshaun Watson is on average fifth. Tags, how high do you have Deshaun Watson?
I have him at number 7, and I could actually see the conversation for putting him at number 6 in front of someone like Carson Wentz. I have him and Wentz at 6 and 7. So it's two guys that had remarkable seasons last year. We know that they're in for some touchdown regression. But the reason that I'm not as low on Watson as maybe you are is just because, like, so I'm a projections nerd. So when I go through my projections and I put him down for Deshaun Watson, he still comes in as like that number 6-7 quarterback just because he's going to have the rushing totals. He's going to have to. And I know he's coming back from an ACL.
Is he? He's coming off a big injury.
He is coming off the ACL, but if you take away his legs, then he's not going to be even close to a QB1. So it's like you have to pick your poison here and say, okay, I'm actually putting him outside the QB1 range. Or I say, okay, he might be a little bit slow out the gate, like in terms of, you know, his rushing ability. But with the way that that offensive line is built in Houston, which, by the way, I ranked as the worst offensive line in football, even worse than the Seahawks, he's going to be running for his life. Fortunately, he has 3 wide receivers who can go and get it. So they don't have a really stout run game. You know, with Lamar Miller there, he's just a guy. And that's the thing is, like, you have to plant your flag somewhere. And I'm not willing to say Deshaun Watson does what he did last year or even a light version of that. I think he takes a step back. The offensive line, just, you don't see guys with that bad of offensive line produce year in, year out. I mean,
Russell Wilson.
Is Deshaun Watson as good as Russell Wilson? I guess that's what I'm saying.
No, he is not. Not even close. And if you were going to come at me saying that, I know you're not. I'm saying the people on Twitter. Just you're in for a losing fantasy football season. That's all that I'm going to say.
Russell Wilson has a much better arm in terms of what he does with it. And that's the thing is Watson had a great season. I'm not going to sit here and say he didn't, but it was very touchdown heavy.
A great 5 weeks. It was not a great season. It was a great month.
Well, that's the thing. So I'm kind of like, I'm still in the camp that yes, he's probably going to be a QB1, but no, I'm not going to own him on any of my teams just because he's actually in my 3rd tier. So I have Rodgers in a tier by himself. The next 3 in the 2nd tier are Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, and Tom Brady. And then Watson, Breeze, and Wentz are in tier 3. So if you want to tell me that any of those quarterbacks should be taken over the other one, I have no issue with that. But I personally would take Drew Brees over Wentz and Watson just because he's proven it time and time again. And one season is not going to make me drop Drew Brees outside of my top 5. It's just not going to do it. Like, the running game,
he's got touchdown regression coming too, but it's positive touchdown regression.
Yes, and he's going to throw more attempts this year too. They built the wide receiver core. The running backs have taken a little downgrade, especially with the Mark Ingram suspension. There's going to be some natural regression in Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram's touchdown department. So I think Drew Brees, I think people, if you have him outside your top 5, I think you're making a mistake.
I agree. Yeah, I've got Drew Brees in my top 5 as well. I've got him at number 5. I've got Deshaun Watson at number 8, and I could definitely see number 7. I could see number 6, but drafting him at number 2 overall is crazy. I mean, the guys I have just ahead of him, Andrew Luck, there's big-time question marks. I could see moving Andrew Luck down to 20, right? If the preseason doesn't go the right way, I could see him moving up to number 5 in my rankings. Right now, they're saying he's healthy. We'll see what happens. I'm willing to move that. Alex Smith, I've got all the way up at number 6. I would imagine I'm the highest expert on Alex Smith. Some people would probably just call me high for having him at number 6, because what's his ADP here? I'm looking at Alex Smith.
What is it, like QB 20, 21?
QB, oh man, I can't even find him. He's way down there. ADP 20, and I've got him at number 6. But the thing is, he was a top 4 quarterback last season. He goes to an offense with similar tools, I think. I know Kansas City has a really great running back. Their tight end is awesome. Jordan Reed's awesome, too. They've got a lot of weapons in the passing game. And I think that they throw the ball more with Alex Smith this year than he's ever thrown before. There might be some more interceptions, but I'm a huge believer. I want Alex Smith in all my drafts as my quarterback. I'll get him in the last round. But, I mean, if I'm ranking based on how I would take players, no, I won't take Alex Smith as the QB number 6. I don't have to. I think he is the 6th best quarterback, though.
It's interesting, you know, when getting ready for this show, I kind of looked at your ranks and my ranks and saw the guys that we differed the most in, and you had Alex Smith at 6. I have him at 10.
Wow, you're probably 2nd highest.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the thing is I might change this as the season goes on. I want to see how he looks in Gruden's offense, but they're saying good things about it. And, you know, when I started thinking about it, I was like, okay, is Bobby crazy for having him at number 6? Because I always want to think, like, what's the best case scenario? What's the worst case scenario? So with Alex Smith, I think you hit it in the fact that he has weapons. The issue is that he doesn't have a bona fide number 1. Like, he doesn't have an AJ Green in his offense. I mean, you could say that Tyreek Hill wasn't necessarily a wide receiver 1.
Tyreek Hill's not a number 1. No.
Right. So he doesn't have that bona fide number 1 receiver. Typically, you know, the elite quarterbacks do have that go-to receiver. Josh Doctson might become that guy. Jamison Crowder could become that guy, but he's really a slot guy. But then you think about it. Okay, their offensive line is pretty solid. They had some injuries last year that made it look a little worse than it was. The running game is, it's good, but do I think that they're a run first team? I do not, because their defense is not that great in the back half. Their front seven, they're starting to rebuild it. I don't think it's crazy to have mid six, but here's the thing. I think that's his ceiling. I don't think Alex Smith has a top five ceiling with Washington.
He did it last year.
I know he did, but that was a ridiculously efficient season. So I'm going to take a step back from that and say, okay, Alex, you're not going to be that efficient. Although he's been great. And here's my stat on Alex Smith. If you haven't heard it before, since 2011, there are just two quarterbacks who have a better touchdown to interception ratio than Alex Smith. Do you know who those quarterbacks are, Bobby?
It's Tyrod Taylor and Aaron Rodgers, right?
It's Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady.
Oh!
Those are the only two quarterbacks in the NFL since 2011 who have a better touchdown-to-interception ratio. So while you want to sit here and tell me Alex Smith is just a game manager, he wasn't a game manager last year. You could actually talk about this and say, Andy Reid knows exactly what he's doing with his offense. He's been efficient his entire career. So maybe he knew how to use Alex Smith. Maybe he didn't realize the potential that Alex Smith had. But what I'm saying is that Alex Smith has been great at whatever he's been asked to do. That's basically what it comes down to. And Jay Gruden, I mean, that's the thing. Kirk Cousins has finished as a top eight quarterback under Gruden. And do I think that Alex Smith is a downgrade from Kirk Cousins? I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for this. I am not willing to say that Alex Smith is a worse quarterback than Kirk Cousins. I'm not saying he's better.
Just say it, Tags. He's an upgrade. He's an upgrade.
I think they're different quarterbacks. I think they're completely different quarterbacks, but I think Alex Smith is a better one for a ball control style offense. And one, that's why I wanted Alex Smith to go to the Jaguars. It was like my hopes and dreams this offseason were that Alex Smith was traded to the Jags, because Alex Smith wins a Super Bowl with the Jags. Like, that would have happened, 100%.
Yeah,
that's what I wanted.
All right, man. I'm looking at Alex Smith rankings. I am the highest. You're fourth highest. But everybody else around us who's got, you know, their rankings in right now, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, Jake Seeley, Rudy Gamble. I mean, those are some of the most accurate experts in the business. So, yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that. All right, man. So who do you have number two? It's Russell Wilson, right?
Yeah, Russell Wilson I have there. I have Cam Newton at three and then Tom Brady at four. And honestly,
same for me. Same top four.
I might put Tom Brady in the Drew Brees tier. Honestly, I might end up doing that just because I really do believe this is the year that Tom Brady starts to fall off. I mean, and I'm not saying that he's going to, I wouldn't have him at number four if I thought that he was going to regress like a lot. But I mean, he's only finished as the QB1 one time. So he's only done that. The run game has improved. The pass blocking has decreased. You know, losing his starting left tackle is a massive deal. Losing Julian Edelman for 4 weeks, losing Brandon Cooks this offseason. There's just a lot of things going on there. I think drafting Sony Michel, drafting Isaiah Wynn in the first round, I think it signifies that the Patriots are going to run the ball a lot more this year. So, and their defense can't be as bad as it was last year, right? I mean, they added some players to it. So Brady, I think I might put him actually in the third tier. I think Russell Wilson and Cam Newton belong in that second one.
I've got Aaron Rodgers in his own tier all by himself. I wouldn't take anyone else in the top 60. I would take Russell Wilson around pick 65, 70. After that, Cam Newton about 90 is where I would take my QB3. I've got Tom Brady number four. I've got Drew Brees number five. So it sounds like we have the same exact top five. Is that right?
Yeah, we do. Yep.
Yeah. So I mean, I would say Rodgers has the first tier all to himself. Wilson has the second tier all to himself. And then the next three quarterbacks, Newton, Brady, Brees, are in the third tier. After that, the fourth tier, I mean, it goes from number six all the way down to, let's see, I would be just as comfortable almost taking number 15, Philip Rivers, as my number six or seven quarterback.
I tend to agree with you there. I mean, I do have a tier, you know, after the Breeze, Wentz, and Watson category, I have Roethlisberger and Cousins, because I do believe that those two have top five upside in terms of what they can do touchdown-wise if their team allows them to. Roethlisberger is in a better position to do it because his defense sucks and his wide receivers are just phenomenal. Kirk Cousins, I mean, he might have a tougher time just because the defense is so good in Minnesota. And the thing is with Cousins, I've kind of come around to say, okay, maybe I was a little too low. I have him at 9 now because I think I had him at 11 before. I brought him up to 9 because I do think he's a safe QB1, but I don't think that he presents the upside that some people might think. Just because, again, unless you're projecting that defense to take a big step back, he's not going to throw the ball more than, you know, 550 times. So
keep in mind, though, he's going to get 4 or 5 rushing touchdowns, right? That's just what he does.
Well, that's what he did under Gruden, and that's my question about Alex Smith, is that Alex Smith's a more mobile quarterback, so you might see Alex Smith, his touchdown numbers in the ground go up, whereas Cousins, they have Dalvin Cook, they have Latavius Murray. These are two of the best goal line backs, I think, that we consider in the game, especially Latavius Murray last year. He was phenomenal in that role. He knows how to run behind the offensive line, so it's Cousins' first year in a new system. It might take some time. But again, I think he's a safe QB1, so I'm not going to knock him down. But Bobby, I'm with you, though, in the fact that those two guys, I don't think there's that much distance between them and a guy like Matthew Stafford, Phillip Rivers, or even Jimmy Garoppolo. And I want to talk about Garoppolo for a second, because he's a big one. A lot of people are telling us that we're dumb for having him down so low. Oh, this is Jimmy G. He's undefeated when he's a starter. Yada, yada, yada. You see how good he was at the end of last year? Here's my issue. If you are taking Jimmy Garoppolo as a top 8 quarterback, which the public is, that's where they're drafting him, as a top 8 quarterback, okay? My argument to this is, do you think he's a better passer than Phillip Rivers this year? And if you say yes, I want to know, who is going to catch the touchdowns? Because he's not running for them. He's not running for yardage. Who is catching? Pierre Garçon, traditionally. I mean, I think there's maybe one season where he caught more than 5 touchdowns.
Over under 2.5 touchdowns on Garçon, right?
So Marquise Goodwin, again, what did he catch last year? 2 touchdowns. Okay, you look down, Dante Pettis, a rookie. Do we know he's going to get on the field? Trent Taylor, he's a slot guy. George Kittle, a second-year tight end. Do I think that he's got the body for it? Sure. But has he ever shown the ability to be a big red zone threat? My issue with Jimmy Garoppolo right now, if you want to tell me that he's a top 8 quarterback, that's fine. Tell me that. But please, because by the rest of the positional players on the 49ers do not reflect where you are drafting Jimmy Garoppolo, because that means Pierre Garçon should be a top 25 guy. Marquise Goodwin, top 35.
George Kittle, top 10.
Yeah, top 10 probably.
McKinnon needs to go in the first round.
Yeah, for Garoppolo to finish as a top 8 quarterback, he needs to throw, I'm going to say it's at least 30 to 32 touchdowns. And where are they going? That's my issue with him right now. I think him and Phillip Rivers, Matthew Stafford, should be combined in like
30 touchdowns would have been second best in the league last year, though.
Right, but he offers nothing rushing. He offers you zero rushing, yeah. And that's what
but
I'm saying.
But listen to this. If you extend his production passing yards out to a full 16 games, do you know how many he had, Tags? He would have had 4,900 yards. That would have led the league. There's a chance Jimmy G this season as a full-time starter gets 5,000 yards passing.
So can someone put this together? I haven't looked at this on a per-game basis, but even, let's pretend that he kept that same exact thing that he was doing during the 2017 season and did it over 16 games.
Well, he was just quarterback 9, so that's what he would be. He would be quarterback 9.
So there you go. So you're talking about that crazy efficiency as the QB9. Because it's just because of the rushing total. If he ran for 200 yards in 2 or 3 touchdowns, yes, he has QB5 potential. But right now, I don't see it, guys. Until he gets someone that can catch touchdowns, I'm not believing it.
So where do you have him? I have him number 16, which is a lot lower than everybody else, but I just can't see putting him over Phillip Rivers, Big Ben, Dak Prescott, who was a top 10 fantasy quarterback last year.
Yeah, I have him at number 13 right now. So I'm not saying that he's bad. I do think he'll be fine. I think we saw Matt Ryan the second year in the Kyle Shanahan offense. He did really well. And you got to think about it. Garoppolo, he came to this team midseason. What he did over the end of the season, it was spectacular. I'm not going to sit here and lie about it, but I do not think that he should be in a tier above Phillip Rivers. And I think that's what it is. Matthew Stafford. These are guys that are proven year over year. With Garoppolo, you're taking risk at a quarterback position that you don't have to. And especially at the price. I mean, if you get him as the QB 13, QB 14 over someone like, you know, Jared Goff, I'm okay with that. Like it's not that there's not risk with guys like Goff and Mariota. I understand that, but
is Goff in your top 20?
Goff, yeah, he's right around that 19, that QB 17 to 19 range. He's in that tier for me. I don't know. I'm not a huge Goff guy. I think that he's like a fine quarterback too in 2 quarterback leagues, but I would not want him as my starter in a standard 1 quarterback league.
I don't know. There's 18 good, reliable quarterbacks. 19 if you include Jameis Winston, who when he comes back, I think he's a top 10 guy. Do you agree with that? Is Jameis Winston top 10 when he comes back? And if so, do you draft him or do you just wait and pick him up?
I had him ranked before the whole suspension thing came out. I actually had him ranked as my number 9-10 quarterback. He was right there with Cousins and Roethlisberger in that conversation. My issue here is that I don't know how fast the Bucs can simply just move on from Jameis Winston. I think there's more risk in that than we initially thought, because with this news coming out, there's some people saying that he shouldn't have a job, that the Bucs should have just cut him. Let's say, let's pretend that Jameis Winston comes back from his suspension and he has a couple horrible games. what do they do? That's my concern with Jameis Winston. Like, there's more risk than initially planned because I didn't...
He's not going to have a couple horrible games. I mean, look at it in the last five games last season.
Oh, I know.
He was the number one fantasy quarterback. He's a very good quarterback. He's not going to have a couple horrible games.
I don't know, man. He's had some brain farts in his career.
Sure. So is Brett Favre. They're similar types of quarterbacks.
Yeah, but, I mean, Brett Favre, he didn't show up in Crocs until after he was past his prime, so we didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, you're right, man. Hey, by the way, in that time when Jimmy G was the starter, he was actually number 10. So if you want to take that small sample size, five games, let's look at the players ahead of him. Joe Flacco, he was the number 6 quarterback in
was
those
he really?
Five games. Yes, he was. Blake Bortles, number 2. Jameis Winston, number 1. I mean, you can't just take the five games and say Jimmy Garoppolo is the man. He's awesome. He's a lot of fun, but he's not a top 8 fantasy quarterback.
Holy cow, I did not realize that. So I just pulled up Joe Flacco's last five games because I was like, no way. Here we go. Week 13 through 17, Joe Flacco, 18.7, 16.8, 21.8, 17.3, and then 14.1. He technically didn't have a bust game over the last 5 weeks of the season.
Really good matchups, right? But, I mean, we all saw that coming. I picked him up, and I was riding him through the fantasy football playoffs because somebody took Blake Bortles ahead of me, and I was really mad about that because I wanted Bortles in the schedule. So I was like, guess I'm going with Joe Flacco here. Oh, well, it worked out.
Yeah, no, I'm Joe Flacco. I didn't realize he had that strong. Maybe it's because I don't look into him too much because he's not going to be a fantasy guy outside of a streamer.
Is he going to lose his job to Lamar Jackson?
No.
Like, at some point, they just have to realize.
Hold on.
Lamar Jackson is the better quarterback.
So, hold on. I've been a Joe Flacco detractor for quite a long time. I've been saying that Joe Flacco is not elite. I've been saying that Baltimore overrates him. However, and this is going back, like, again, when a quarterback wins a Super Bowl for your city, he is going to get every single opportunity. And can we please stop pretending that the Ravens spent, like, a top five pick on Lamar Jackson? They let him fall to the end of the first round. Like, they could have traded up a few times. There were a few teams that would have loved to have traded back. They got him at the end of the first round. Okay.
Now, but then Colin Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, they weren't drafted high.
Correct. And that's what I'm saying. So, well, Colin Kaepernick didn't start right away. He only started because of an injury. And then Russell Wilson... he just happens to be an elite quarterback. Do I think Lamar Jackson is Russell Wilson? I do not. But here's the thing. Joe Flacco, he's going to get every last chance. Reportedly, he's come into camp and he's looked phenomenal, like in the best physical shape, that his back is doing better. And I think this lights a fire under people. And to people, like for people that say, oh, he's trying harder. It's like the whole Tom Brady thing when he gets mad. No, I don't believe that. But I do think that there's a certain something deep down in all of us that when there's someone gunning for your job, I think that it's going to make most people just step up a little bit more. Like if you're under the fire, you're going to, it's just some people do that. And I think Joe Flacco was coasting by. I think he thought the job was his and now he realizes it's not. The problem is that Marty Morningwig, the offensive coordinator in Baltimore, is not prepared to handle Lamar Jackson. The reason that Lamar Jackson doesn't happen sooner rather than later is because the offense would legitimately have to change overnight. Like, you cannot run the same offense with Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson. Can't do it. So my take on this is that the Ravens, if they get off to a start where they're not going to make the playoffs, like, let's say I think their bye is in week 10. So if they get through 9 weeks and they're looking at, let's say, a 4-5 record, and they're like, you know, it looks like we're out of the playoff hunt, I think that's when they go to Jackson. But I don't think that happens because I think he's going to be okay enough. And I think the defense is getting, like, they're going to get healthy. They're getting better on defense. I think this team is going to be in a playoff race because they always are with Harbaugh as the head coach. I don't think Lamar Jackson starts until they're out of the playoff hunt. And that's the thing is, so if you're looking for an answer out of me, does Lamar Jackson start this season? It's up in the cards. I would set the over under at like week 15. That would be mine, but that's my opinion.
It's driving me crazy, man. I don't know what to do here because if Lamar Jackson started him, I want him in every two quarterback league.
Yeah, for sure.
I've got him in a ton of best ball leagues. And if Flacco's as good as they say he is this season, if he's finally healthy, he could be a decent quarterback. He's going to throw the ball 600 times again.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I don't think Lamar Jackson, again, it would be a completely different offense if he did take over. So I don't know if they're prepared to run that. And that's why the bye week makes a lot of sense. I think that's like the make or break time for Flacco, where it's like, if you don't show that you can handle this team and that you're making us a playoff contender by week 10, we have 2 weeks to get our offense ready with Lamar Jackson. So maybe the over-under should be set at week 11 because that's when they'd come back from their bye.
All right, man, we've got a few more quarterbacks to talk about. But first, I want to mention the sponsor of today's show, YourRules.com. And if you're a fantasy football fanatic listening to this show in July, a couple of weeks before your fantasy football season has really started, the people in your league aren't even really thinking about it. You're probably pretty amped up for your draft. But before you fork over cash to the same website, I need to tell you about the hottest new fantasy sports platform, YourRules.com. I'm switching a couple of my leagues over to YourRules.com to take advantage of some of the key features that other sites aren't offering. YourRules.com offers total league customization unlike any other fantasy site. All the other sites out there, this is the first fantasy experience that is so much closer to how a real football game is managed. No more set it and forget it lineups. Finally, you can do in-game substitutions, points for pass interference, yardage, unique ability to handle injuries. Head on over to YourRules.com and register for the 2018 NFL season. Change your game today. That's www.YourRules.com, YourRules.com. All right, Tags, let's hop back into that, borderline QB1 tier. We didn't really get into those players, right? So let's not talk about Andrew Luck. We've talked about him so much. Phillip Rivers, Matthew Stafford. Got Matt Ryan, who belongs there. If you had to pick one of those three guys for your quarterback towards the end of the draft, who are you going with?
I have Matt Ryan there. He's the one I have. I just feel like he's the safest of those guys. I feel like his weaponry was improved, whereas like Phillip Rivers lost Hunter Henry and Antonio Gates. That's a downgrade, no matter how you look at it. Matthew Stafford, I know what he is, and I know that he's not going to win a fantasy league for me. Like, he's just not the guy. Like, again, I know he finishes like top 12 quarterback every single year, and that's fine. It's kind of like a Phillip Rivers thing. That's where I'm at with Stafford. Is I feel like he's a safe quarterback, but in terms of QB1 percentages, he was like 15th last year. So it's like he's finishing in that QB2 territory quite a bit, like maybe high end QB2, and that's where I have him ranked. That's how I feel. Ryan, I feel like we saw part of his upside with Julio Jones if they click, and adding Calvin Ridley should help. You know, maybe Austin Hooper, even though I don't like him, maybe he takes a step forward and shows me something that I haven't seen. But when you look at the pass catching, you know, ability, you look at the offensive line of the Falcons, it's really in place. So I just think Matt Ryan has shown a little bit higher of a ceiling than someone like Matthew Stafford. So again, all these guys are in the same tier for me, the Ryan, Andrew Luck, Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt Stafford, and Phillip Rivers. So I can make the case for any of these guys to go there. I just think that Matt Ryan's the safest.
I think they're all safe. I think that Matt Ryan, it wouldn't surprise anybody if he finished in the top five. I think it would surprise people if Rivers or Stafford or Cousins finished in the top five.
Yeah, Cousins is the weird one for me, because a lot of people do like Cousins an awful lot because they love Stephon Diggs, they like Adam Thielen, and it's like the opposite of Jimmy Garoppolo, right?
Kyle Rudolph, Dalvin Cook, yeah.
Yeah, and it's the opposite of Garoppolo, where people are ranking, they're drafting Garoppolo's top eight, but they're not drafting his receivers, his pass catchers. Whereas Cousins, you're seeing both Diggs and Thielen go as top 20 wide receivers. You're seeing Cook go top 10. You're seeing Kyle Rudolph go top five sometimes. So I understand the ranking of Kirk Cousins. Like, I really do understand people wanting to put him in their top eight. That makes sense. But Garoppolo, not so much.
What do you think about Carson Wentz? I mean, you already talked about where you have him ranked, QB number seven. I've got him at QB number 10. Now, the touchdowns are going to come down. Do you trust him coming off the injury more than somebody like a Matt Ryan? Is he as risky as someone like Andrew Luck?
I don't think he's as risky, because Luck, we haven't seen throw the football in over a year, whereas Wentz, you know, it'd be his third year in the league. Obviously, he's still learning things as he goes. I'm not worried about the ACL as much as I would have been, you know, 10 years ago, because modern medicine, as I've talked about, and quarterbacks don't, their ACL isn't as important as a running back's. So with the thing with Wentz, you know, his 7.5% touchdown rate last year was sky high. I mean, that was a number, to give you an idea as to how high it was. Aaron Rodgers has hit that number just once in his career. So if we were to dial back Carson Wentz touchdown rate to just 6%, which is 1.5% lower, it's still elite.
That's high. That's way higher than Tom Brady's career percentage.
It's still elite, right? But that would have, he would have thrown seven fewer touchdowns. That would have dropped him from the QB5 to the QB12 last year. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend that Carson Wentz comes without risk. He's someone that whenever my cheat sheet comes up and he's the next quarterback and I'm on the clock, I don't ever feel great drafting Carson Wentz as the sixth quarterback off the board. So usually, I might have him on like two or three best ball teams, but I don't draft him a whole lot because I don't know what equity I'm getting by drafting him there. Coming off that ACL, they didn't really add much to the pass. I mean, they replaced Torrey Smith with Mike Wallace. Meh. Alshon Jeffrey, is he going to play all 16 games again? It's been a rare thing in his career, so I don't know if we can expect that. There's some question marks for sure. And that's why I haven't ended up with Wentz or Watson on many of my teams.
I have one share of Carson Wentz, and I was so mad when I got him. Tags, I think I told you about this. I thought I had my ranking set, my pre-ranking set, and I just put it on auto draft. I didn't have it set, and they drafted Carson Wentz for me ahead of guys like, you know, Alex Smith, Matt Ryan, Andrew Luck, and I was like, I can't believe this. This team is completely ruined. Obviously, that's an overreaction, but that's how I felt in the moment. So, yeah, I'm not a big fan of drafting Carson Wentz near his ADP. Not quite as bad as Deshaun Watson and where he's going, but I think Wentz is being overdrafted for sure. Tags, a couple more names here, some higher upside guys, Marcus Mariota, Patrick Mahomes. I would even put Dak Prescott in that territory. I know that you don't really like Dak Prescott that much, but he was top 10 last year, and everyone thought he had a horrible season. Who's to say he won't return and be a top 5, top 6 guy?
I seem to, every time I get around my friends, I seem to get in this conversation with them about Dak Prescott. I think it's gotten to the point where, as a real-life quarterback, I think the hate's gone too far. Like, he went from overrated to underrated really fast. Because like some people were saying that he was top 5 quarterback in the league, and I wasn't willing to go that far, and then now people are saying that he shouldn't even be a starter. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, did you guys not watch the games? Because Prescott is better than you like than most people think nowadays. His offensive line was started to hurt from injuries, losing Tyron Smith at left tackle, losing Ezekiel Elliott, and they're like, well, true elite players, you know, overcome that stuff. I didn't say Dak Prescott's an elite player. I didn't put him in the conversation with Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. I didn't do that. But Dak Prescott, I would say, is a top 15 NFL quarterback in terms of skill sets. My problem is with the Cowboys did this year. You know, losing Jason Witten as like that guy over the middle that you could throw to, you could trust, losing the red zone threat and Dez Bryant. I think Dak Prescott has top 10 upside. I really do. But I wouldn't feel comfortable drafting him higher than like the QB 18. You know, if you want to have the conversation about Prescott or Goff, I think that's a good conversation to have. But Prescott might give you the higher floor because he's going to run for, you know, 400 yards. He might score 6 rushing touchdowns. Like, that's a possibility. But again, it's just, I don't love the offense. I worry about, you know, how many points they're going to score just because they didn't add enough to the wide receiver core to make me feel comfortable with rostering Prescott. I think he's a streamer this year. I would rather own someone who could potentially come into an every week starter like a Mariota, like a Mahomes, like even a Mitch Trubisky, I would take over Dak Prescott.
All right, so Mitch Trubisky, his ADP is QB 26. You've got Mahomes, QB 15. People are taking Mahomes so much higher, but really, what is the difference between the two? We've seen Mahomes play one game, and they've both got good weapons. They've both got, you know, I think good coaching staffs behind them. Trubisky was drafted in the top 2. Mahomes, you know, they traded up to get him, but it's not being drafted in the top 2. So why do people love Mahomes that much more?
You know, the reason is, I had this conversation on Twitter. I can't remember who it was, but there was a few, like, experts that were asked, basically, you know, what's the difference between Mahomes and Trubisky and, like, which one you prefer? If I were drafting, I would take Mahomes over Trubisky. I want to be clear about that. If they were both on an equal playing field, like, in terms of cost, but they're not. Mahomes sometimes is, like, the last night, the draft I was in, he went, I think, as the 9th quarterback off the board.
Yeah, you see that.
Yeah, Trubisky, you could literally wait, and you can get him as the 18th to 25th quarterback off the board, depending on who you're playing with. That's the thing, is the cost on Trubisky is what matters. I can take him as one of the last QB2s drafted and have similar upside to Mahomes, whereas, like, you have to take Mahomes as, like, borderline QB1 range. And the reason if it was on even playing, like if they were both the same cost, I'd take Mahomes, is because he's plays for Andy Reid. We know that's a proven offensive system to generate fantasy points. He's playing on a Chiefs team that their defense has gone to crap. Like, the Chiefs defense is going to be so bad. Like, they've lost a lot of players. They're aging. They don't have cornerbacks. There's a lot of problems on that defense where I think there's going to be some shootout potential for Mahomes. And that's why I think that we're anticipating the pass attempts coming up. Whereas Trubisky, the Bears retained Vic Fangio. They added to the defense. Roquan Smith was their first round pick. They continually added to their defense this offseason, re-signed the cornerbacks. I just think it's a more balanced team in Chicago. And they have, you know, Jordan Howard, who's essentially a 2-down running back, Tariq Cohen back there. There's a lot of parallels with these two quarterbacks, and I have them both in the same tier, but one of them is much, much cheaper.
You're right. Somebody else that you could put in that range, I don't, but a lot of people put Derek Carr as a high upside guy. Some people think Eli Manning is a high upside guy because they've got Barkley now. They've got Odell Beckham coming back. On both Carr and Manning, just forget it. Don't play that game. It's not worth it. Two quarterback league, yeah, they're going to start every game. They don't really have any competition. That's fine. But I would rather have Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford, I've mentioned it before. He's been the best quarterback in terms of QB rating in his past 16 games of anyone in the world. Better than Tom Brady, better than Aaron Rodgers, better than Russell Wilson. Sam Bradford, number one. He's being drafted as quarterback 35 right now. I know Josh Rosen's there, but while Bradford's healthy, yeah, I would definitely rather have him than Derek Carr or Eli Manning.
Here's my issue with Bradford. You're obviously not drafting him in one quarterback leagues, right? This is for like a two quarterback league for your second quarterback. So my issue with that is in two quarterback leagues, I want safety.
No, he's my third quarterback. His ADP is 35. I'm getting him at the end of drafts.
Well, that's what I'm saying is I would rather take someone like Andy Dalton or Eli Manning because I think they have job security. And so people are going to argue with me about Eli Manning, but I think that you're going to see a change in the offense here in New York relatively fast. Andy Dalton, despite how bad he was last year, he's finished as a top 18 quarterback in every single season. He has no fear at all of losing his starting job. You know, Blake Bortles, I don't think they brought in a backup that can compete. I'd rather take him on my fantasy team as my QB2. Derek Carr, as much as he sucks, like in terms of fantasy, he's got job stability. Like he's not going anywhere. There's a possibility with Sam Bradford that he doesn't win the starting job. There's a possibility that he's benched after a bad week just because people want to see Rosen. Like, that team's not winning a Super Bowl, so they might go with Rosen. Like, if you were to tell me Bradford were going to start all 16 games and that he'd stay healthy and that he wouldn't lose the job, yeah, I could see him being in that conversation for sure. Because when he's on the field, he's actually been pretty good. Even going back to the Rams, his time with the Rams, he wasn't as bad as people thought. He was just injured a lot. But Derek Carr, I mean, the stat here, 9 of 15 games in 2017 with Michael Crabtree, mind you, Derek Carr finished with fewer than 14 fantasy points. That's not good. Like, I don't, there's no great silver lining there. There's nothing. Derek Carr is a back end QB2 and not one that I think comes with much upside.
All right, Jags, before we move on over to tight ends, I just want you to give me your ideal top three for best ball leagues. Like, if you are drafting a team and you're getting three quarterbacks in a best ball league, which three quarterbacks are you most likely to end up with?
So Rodgers, I've actually ended up with Rodgers on a few teams because I'm willing to take him in the fourth or fifth round of best ball. However, like last night in the draft I did, I felt really, really good about my trio of quarterbacks. I got Russell Wilson, I think, in the eighth round. I got Andrew Luck in the 10th. And then I got Mitch Trubisky in the 13th. Like, I was done with quarterback. I didn't feel like the need to draft anymore. It was a 28-round draft, so all the quarterbacks were going. But after getting those three, I felt like I got upside. I got stability. There was a little risk in Luck, and that's the only reason I took a third quarterback. So having those three, I mean, that's a little bit more equity than I think some people would like. So if you wanted to go with, you know, you get Cam Newton. I love him in best ball, by the way. Cam Newton has a higher boom rate in terms of 25-plus point fantasy games, higher than Tom Brady over the last 4 years. So Cam Newton's boom rate is awesome. If you can get him, pair him with Trubisky and like Prescott or Dalton or any of those guys back there, Jameis Winston, I'd be more than okay with that.
I'm going Andrew Luck, Alex Smith, and Sam Bradford. It's really hard to leave Jameis Winston out.
I love the trio, but I just think there's too much risk with Luck and Bradford.
There's a lot of risk, but I'm all about the risk in best ball leagues, you know?
It's fair.
All right, man, let's go tight ends then. And this isn't going to be as difficult for us because we agree on virtually everything here. let's start off with, instead of just going at the top, I want to start off by saying the two big things that we big time agree with. Evan Ingram and Jimmy Graham are not top five and top six fantasy tight ends. Tags, how far down do you have them?
I have Evan Ingram down at 8, and I have Graham at 9 or 10, depending on how I feel. But he's definitely like him and Trey Burton are flip flopping back and forth. I mean, I understand the proven production with Graham that he's had, but he's going to a new team. He's old. Trey Burton is young.
I've got them 9 and 10. And their ADPs right now are 4 and 5.
Exactly. But that's what it comes down to. Trey Burton is so much cheaper. I'm not going to own Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, I'm not owning either of them. And the reason why, Tags mentioned it several shows before, Jimmy Graham did not have a single game over 70 receiving yards last year. Everything was baked into who he was in the red zone. Aaron Rodgers does not throw to tight ends in the red zone. Maybe he will more with Jimmy Graham, but Jimmy Graham is going backwards. I mean, he's gone from Drew Brees to Russell Wilson to Aaron Rodgers, so it's not like he's getting some huge quarterback upgrade. I like Aaron Rodgers. He's the best in the game, right? But it's not like he's suddenly, you know, it's not like one of these situations where, who was it, Jared Cook went from being with Sean Hill to all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers?
Yes, that's exactly, that's a great comparison too. It's like, if you're talking about a massive quarterback upgrade, but going from Drew Brees and Russell Wilson, I mean, it's hard to argue that, it, you know, it's much of an upgrade. And those, by the way, those quarterbacks target their tight end a lot more than Aaron Rodgers has over his career.
Exactly. Yep, and Evan Engram, it's just a matter of targets. He was the only healthy person on the Giants last year, and so they had to throw him the football. And when they did, his efficiency was not very good at all. In fact, he was almost, I won't say as bad. O.J. Howard was almost as good as Evan Engram despite like 60 fewer targets.
Yeah, no, and the thing is, Engram, there's so many things to dislike here. He's under 25, which basically I showed in a recent article series I did on when do fantasy players decline at what age. I did an article on running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends, and it essentially shows that wide or tight ends under the age of 25, they don't come with top three upside, unless you're Rob Gronkowski, and Evan Engram is not that. Evan Engram's 24 years old. Odell Beckham's coming back to the offense. Sterling Shepard's healthy coming in. I just can't see it. You know, Saquon Barkley's added to that offense. There's so many pieces there. It's going to be difficult for everybody to live up to their ADP. So when you look at it naturally and say, okay, who's gonna lose some targets? It's definitely Evan Engram. So him, he's down. But Bobby, I want to bring up something too. Jimmy Graham. And I think I can't remember who was on our show. They said, Jimmy Graham, don't forget that he sucked in his first year with Russell Wilson. Like, it took him some time to develop that chemistry with even Russell Wilson, a guy that's traditionally targeted the tight end position a little bit more. So
serious injury concerns, too.
Yeah. And that guy's body is breaking down. He overcame that massive knee injury a couple years ago. But I think there's one point that we should make in this one, though, is that if you're drafting even in a 12-team league, we want to get a top 10 tight end, right?
You have to. If you don't, you're screwed.
Yeah, I don't feel like this is the year where you want to play the streaming game. If you can get one of these top 10 tight ends, and Trey Burton's my cutoff, like where, because he's the last one being drafted. Him and Jordan Reed are typically in the same area of best ball draft, so I'm okay with either one of them. But with Reed, I feel like I have to grab another tight end who's at least semi-relevant, like maybe a Kittle, maybe a Vance McDonald. But I don't feel... With Jordan Reed, you basically, what it means, you have to draft another tight end. Like, you have to have three tight ends on your roster. Trey Burton, I don't think you necessarily need to.
I say the same with Jimmy Graham, though, too.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
So, I mean, we'll get down to that range here in a second. First, let's go up to the top tier. I don't think Rob Gronkowski is in his own tier. In fact, he's not my tight end one right now. It's Zach Ertz. And the reason why is Rob Gronkowski has missed at least 5 games in 4 out of 8 seasons. Yeah, he was healthy last year, but who knows what happens this season. Ertz is super consistent. He's had more receptions than Rob Gronkowski each of the past 3 seasons. Carson Wentz loves throwing to him. What it really comes down to is I would love to have either of them, but at the price point that Zach Ertz is going, I think he's so much better for value. I have so many shares of Zach Ertz and exactly 0 of Gronk.
Well, here's the thing with Ertz, and I understand why you want to like him. I have him in a separate tier. I have Gronk and Kelsey at the top. If you want to make an argument for either of those guys, I'm with it. Ertz is behind them for me. And so the thing with Ertz, he's actually missed 2 games in each of the last 2 seasons. He missed 1 the year before that. And not just that, though. Like, okay, he missed 2 games last year. There were another 4 games where he saw 2 targets. That's a problem. Like, Rob Gronkowski, if he's playing, he's not seeing anything less than 6-7 targets. It's just not happening. Travis Kelce, we've seen Andy Reid kind of screw the pooch on this one a few times, but as the years have gone on, he started to realize, okay, Travis Kelce's pretty damn good. We should probably keep feeding him the ball. Kelce, I mean, the only risk with Kelce is the concussion. Same with Gronk, though, too. Where it's like these guys have both suffered some pretty bad concussions, and Kelce we've saw miss a game because of it. Gronk, same thing.
And Kelce gets a big downgrade at quarterback. I mean, at least I think so. Alex Smith was a top 3 quarterback last season. This year he gets Pat Mahomes, who's a complete question mark. They add Sammy Watkins. I just think that Kelce gets fewer targets this year, and Zach Ertz gets more with Trey Burton out of the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, well, they did draft Dallas Goedert, and he's someone that people are expecting to walk right into that Trey Burton role. So, I mean, the thing is, the reason that I don't think that Kelce or Ertz take a step back or step forward, I think that the roles in the offense are set. Like, I think that there's a way that Doug Peterson runs his offense. Same thing with Andy Reid. I think that Sammy Watkins hurts Tyreek Hill more than anything, but in the same time, even though it is a downgrade at quarterback, and yes, Bobby, you and I are on the same page in that. You know, even if you like Mahomes, you can't sit here and tell me that he's better than Alex Smith already.
Alex Smith was an MVP candidate last season. Pat Mahomes is not going to be an MVP candidate. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, so if you're taking away targets as a whole, yes, maybe Kelce lost some of his upside, but I still think he's one of the safest players in the NFL. Ertz is safe as well. But again, we're talking about some serious regression for Carson Wentz, and that's going to leak into the tight end position as well, because if you go look at Ertz, he had one 100-yard game last year. He did have a lot of touchdowns. Touchdowns helped carry him through, so he might suffer some of that regression on the touchdown end. Like I said, I don't think that you can make a conversation for anybody else to get in the top three outside these three. I think that these three are the top ones in everybody's rankings. It's just a matter of, are you willing to pay the price of a late second, early third for Gronk and Kelce, or a mid to late third on Ertz? Are you willing to pay that?
Yeah, somebody has Jimmy Graham in their top three. I'm looking at it right now. Somebody has Greg Olsen in their top three. Somebody has Ertz all the way down at six. I don't know what they're thinking, but I want to ask them, because that doesn't make any sense to me. So after the top three, number four, at least in terms of ECR, is Greg Olsen. Now, his ADP is number six. We've talked about him extensively here before. Is there somebody else you would take over Greg Olsen as the fourth tight end?
Delanie Walker. They're in the same tier. I have Delanie Walker, Greg Olsen, and Kyle Rudolph in the same tier, and it all comes down to the same thing. All of them have competing targets now. Like, Delanie Walker's got Corey Davis and Taywan Taylor coming up in the offense. Greg Olsen has DJ Moore, Devin Funchess, Christian McCaffrey. Kyle Rudolph has Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen. But Rudolph has produced before with those guys in the field, so that's... I can see the argument for Rudolph moving up a list a little bit. But the thing is Rudolph, he had ankle surgery this offseason. And if you know how I feel about players coming off of foot injuries or ankle injuries, pass catchers specifically, I'm a little more cautious with those guys, where it's like, and again, we have to predict someone from that Vikings offense to not return value. Do you want to bet against Diggs, Thielen? I'm betting against Thielen. But Rudolph could be the guy who regresses a little bit, and Dalvin Cook. So it's one of those guys is going to let you down.
Yeah, I agree. Delanie Walker is extremely safe. I think he's maybe the safest besides Zach Ertz of anybody, because, like you mentioned, Kelce has the concussions. Gronk has the everything injury history, but Delanie Walker is extremely safe. You know who else I think is really safe? And this is somebody that you loved early. I'm finally getting on the bandwagon, and I think that he's going too late. It's Trey Burton, man.
Yeah, for sure.
He's going to be the dude. We know who he is. He's a very good athlete. He's going into an offense that is going to use him, and use him the right way. He's going to get targets. Allen Robinson, who knows what's going to happen with that? I know they say he's healthy, but I still am not quite buying it. I think Trey Burton is extremely safe, and I think he has a huge ceiling.
You want to know what's pretty awesome about like being on Trey Burton bandwagon? Is because you could find these little tidbits all over the place, and like knowing that the Bears went out there and that was one of the first signings of free agency, so they obviously put it very high on their list of priorities once Matt Nagy came in. So here's the thing. I went, and while doing Allen Robinson's player profile, I found some neat tidbits to share with the show. So Andy Reid and Doug Peterson, going back to 2014, looking at the offenses, tight ends have had at least 125 targets in every single one of those offenses, every single year. Okay, they're usually right around that 26 to 30% range in terms of target share. Once Matt Nagy took over in week 13, he ran the offense from week 13 through 16 with the starters. It's 4 weeks. He targeted tight ends 36.8% of the time, which would have been even a 6 or 7% increase over what this offense typically did. You saw Travis Kelce be involved massively. So if I take anything from the play calling that Nagy did once he took over, it's that he loves the tight end, which makes all the sense in the world that the Bears went out and got Trey Burton. A lot of people, we had Sigmund Bloom on the show before free agency started, and he said that the best free agent tight end isn't Tyler Eifert. It's not Jimmy Graham. It's Trey Burton. And if you've been watching him, anytime he's been asked to step into a role, he has produced. And I think the Bears and Matt Nagy saw it. He's very comparable in terms of body and like his athleticism to a guy like Travis Kelce, to a guy like Zach Ertz. That's the role he's walking into. So why do you not want those targets?
I mean, I think you want any targets you can get, and I think it's a good offense for him to succeed. So I've moved him up my ranking slowly. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up moving up more. So now we're through the top 10 tight ends. This is where it gets ugly. So if you get in a situation, you don't have a tight end, these top 10 are gone, who are you turning to? I've got O.J. Howard and Eric Ebron. I don't feel great about either of them. I like Cameron Braid a little bit too, Jack Doyle. After that, it is so bad. I mean, I know there's some upside with guys like ASJ, that's Austin Seferian Jenkins, Vance McDonald, Benjamin Watson, George Kittle, Vernon Davis if Jordan Reed gets hurt, maybe Ricky Seals-Jones, but I'm telling you, Tags, this is a nightmare scenario if you fall out of that top 10.
I couldn't agree more. I think Kittle's probably the best of the bunch right now. I would have said it was Jack Doyle, and Doyle would have been the conversation had they not signed Ebron. But the more that I think about this, you know, we've talked about in the show, is that I've been open to the possibility of moving Ebron up in my rankings. I haven't quite done it yet because I haven't seen it. But they're talking about him playing that move tight end, which is the, you know, the one we just talked about. Trey Burton, Zach Ertz, Travis Kelce. That's the move tight end in that offense. So we'll see in preseason how they're using these two. But it really comes down to how you're building your team, right? Like, if you want to take some risk and you're willing to spend a pick on a high upside player like a George Kittle, you know, grab him. Grab him as like the 12th tight end, 13th tight end off the board. That's an upside pick. If you're looking for safety, just wait. And you could take someone like Charles Clay. He's never going to win you a league, but he's probably not going to lose it either, because they just don't have the targets in the offense. They don't have the touchdowns. There's no upside in that offense, where Charles Clay is just, he is what he is. But man, it's really ugly. I don't feel comfortable with Doyle. Kittle, I mean, he could be in a timeshare. We don't know. OJ Howard isn't a timeshare. We know that, as is Cameron Brate. Tyler Eifert, he might play one game and decide to retire. Safarian Jenkins is suddenly on a Jags team that has, you know, five wide receivers that are competing for three spots. Like, Safarian Jenkins last year, he saw 74 targets in 14 games.
And he was horrible. He was the least efficient tight end, wasn't he, of anybody?
He topped 46 yards one time all season.
Man.
And that's the thing, is if you want to say, well, Mike, it was the Jets. I mean, I don't hear any complaints about Robbie Anderson or Jermaine Kearse.
I mean, nobody's drafting those guys. But then again, nobody's drafting Marquise Lee either. They're both not very exciting pass offenses. Hey, I've got a stat for George Kittle, okay? So when Jimmy Garoppolo took over, we talked about how he was the quarterback 10 in those 5 weeks. He produced a top 7 tight end and a top 10 tight end in those 5 weeks. Can you believe that? Garrett Celek, number 7. He only played 4 of those games. George Kittle, number 10. He played 5 of those games. That's incredible, man.
Yep.
You combine their stats together, and they had 59 fantasy points. The next best was Rob Gronkowski at 46.
And I was actually looking at that last year. OJ Howard and Cameron Brate, like, you could pretty much guarantee a top 12 finish for one of them on any given week. It's just predicting who it is. And that's where it comes down to, man. It's like, it's not going to happen where there's two tight ends that are finishing top 12. So, like, I think they're going to cancel each other out. Kittle and Celek, is that continue? I don't know. But me personally, I would rather take someone like Vance McDonald, because you can get him for free. And it's very, very possible that he is the tight end that they wanted in Pittsburgh. It's just last year, he was traded to the team 1 week before the regular season, never had a chance to learn the offense, never developed any chemistry until late in the season. And they've talked about in this offseason saying that he is going to be a bigger part of their offense. And I actually believe them. I think McDonald is someone that you can grab in your draft, and you can at least start him in week one because they're playing the Browns.
Yeah. Yep, I completely agree with that. I think if you're streaming tight ends, you draft that Vance McDonald later in your draft. Tags, let's close it out with this, okay? If you're doing a best ball team, I don't know if you're taking two tight ends, like two of the top 10, or if you're going three, but what does your ideal best ball team look like for tight ends?
Honestly, I almost never get two top 10 guys, if I'm being honest. I want at least one of them. And a lot of the time before, I mean, especially like if you go back a month or two, Trey Burton was free. His ADP was, I think, 150, 160, which was just dumb. He was the easiest pick in best ball for a couple months.
Well, Geronimo Allison was going like undrafted for a while, man.
Yeah. Trey Burton and Jordan Reed were going outside the top 100. They were the easy combo. Like, I would get them in a lot of leagues. But now it's tough, man. You'll see Delanie Walker sometimes fall into the 7th or 8th round. I might grab him, but I get one top 10 tight end. And then after that, I'll take two other guys later on, like a Vance McDonald, Hayden Hurst, even Mike Gesicki. I've been getting some shares of him just because, like, when you think about the tight end position, he has no competition. And I know that rookie tight ends are a letdown most of the time, but that's why Gesicki is like my last option. Hayden Hurst is someone I actually like because he's NFL ready. He's older. He's 25 years old. The Ravens spent a first round pick on him, so they obviously have plans to incorporate him in the offense. Ben Watson with the Saints, that's another good one. It just all depends on how your team's built and what you're looking at. Because if you have upside elsewhere and you want some stability, Charles Clay is not a bad guy. But in best ball, I'm typically looking for ceiling.
In best ball, I don't mind going with three and none of them in the top 10 because tight ends are just so expensive. Because everyone knows if you don't get a top 10 guy, it's ugly. But in best ball, if you get three of them, you're going to end up with some good weeks. All right, my dream team for best ball, if I'm getting three of them, Eric Ebron, OJ Howard, and then with my very last pick, I like getting Steven Anderson for Houston. I mean, this guy is a very good athlete. I think he's going to end up winning the starting job. And nobody's talking about who's starting at tight end for Houston. We'd seen Fedorowicz do some really good things out there, and I understand it's a different offense. They had Brock Osweiler and everything like that, but Deshaun Watson substantially better. I don't love the wide receivers in Houston. I love DeAndre Hopkins. Of course, you have to, but beyond that, I could see Steven Anderson or whatever tight end getting some targets, and if this guy's a big-time athlete, I think he could be a breakout guy.
Yeah, Steven Anderson was it's been interesting, right? Because like he had a few good games last year. I remember when he was like one of the best DFS streamers because we knew Fedorowicz was out, Ryan Griffin was hurt. But it wouldn't surprise me if Ryan Griffin got the starting job. They drafted Jordan Akins, who I think he's like 26 years old, so he's even older than Hayden Hurst. He's an older old guy. But the thing is like I think Will Fuller and Kiki QT are better than average, especially QT out of the slot. So I think that I don't know if we see the tight end position targeted a whole lot in Houston, even though I will say in my strength of schedule articles, the one where I looked at it differently than most people do, Houston has the best tight end schedule by far. Like it wasn't even close. So I wish we had the answer to that, but I just don't think that we do. And I just don't know if Houston targets the tight end position a whole lot.
All right, man. You want to end us off with stat of the day here?
Absolutely. You know, we've talked a lot this episode. We talked about Delanie Walker and the fact that, you know, he has Corey Davis to deal with, Taywan Taylor. But Corey Davis, the stat that I have for you guys on him, there have been 438 wide receivers who have seen at least 50 targets in the last 5 years. 438. That's a lot, right? Corey Davis's 0.55 fantasy points per target ranked dead last. Dead.
Wow.
Last. And the thing is, I'm a Corey Davis supporter, but this stat is not good. What it's done for me, though, to go back and look at some of these stats that I have is maybe to just dial back expectations a little bit. You know, we saw him step forward in the playoffs. We saw the chemistry, and it goes back to not having the time with Mariota in camp, you know, missing part of the beginning of the season, just not getting that chemistry. But maybe it goes back to say, okay, even if Corey Davis does take a step forward, he'd have to take a massive step forward in order to live up to his current ADP.
Great point, man.
Meanwhile, you have someone like Delanie Walker who has produced year in, year out with Mariota. He's like the Jason Witten of their offense. I said Delanie Walker is the Demaryius Thomas of tight ends. He's not going to win your league.
Perfect.
But he's not going to lose it at the most volatile position in fantasy.
Yeah, I like that, man. Corey Davis, that makes me nervous. You reminded me of that stat, and I don't know what to do with it now. I mean, because you think about it, right? And yeah, he did have the two great playoff games. We've seen a lot of random no-name guys have solid playoff games and then just absolutely disappear.
Wait, Jeff Janis, right?
Yeah, Jeff Janis. What was that guy's name? Matthews in the Super Bowl a couple years back for the Seahawks?
Chris Matthews.
Did he even make the roster the next year?
I don't think he did. I think I can't remember. I think he went to the Ravens, actually.
Obviously, Corey Davis isn't Matthews, but
no, right. And for the record, I like Corey Davis, but he had an atrocious rookie year.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying is the bigger sample size tells us a lot more than, you know, one or two games.
For sure.
All right, and don't forget, we've got the signed powder blue Keenan Allen jersey giveaway going on right now. If you go to fantasypros.com/contest, you'll see the details. It takes like 30 seconds to enter. Really easy to do, and we're going to be giving away that bad boy here at the end of the month. So make sure to get your entry in for the signed Keenan Allen powder blue jersey. And thanks to the sponsor of today's show, yourrules.com. That's YourRulz.com, and they've got awesome customizable leagues where you can get points for pass interference yardage, in-game substitutions. Check them out. Check out all their rules. You're going to be amazed. That's yourrules.com. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a pool.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast.
Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.